We are so glad you've decided to join us for today's Family Talk with your host, psychologist, and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson. I'm Luann Crane here with my co-host, Ryan Dobson. And, Doctor, I do believe our listeners will be very glad they tuned in today.
Mm-hmm. Luann, what we have planned for our listeners is our third and final day of conversation with two very well-known public figures, Dr. Marcus and Representative Michelle Bachman. Mm-hmm. They visited the Family Talk offices a few days ago, and I just can't tell you what a pleasure it was to spend time with them. Mm-hmm. And I invited them to come here because I wanted our listeners to have the opportunity to get to know these folks who have taken a very public role in this country. They clearly love the Lord and are passionate about their family and about the family mm-hmm. and about all of the values that we hold so dear. I also think our listeners are going to particularly enjoy this interview with the Bachmans because it's going to show a side of this couple that perhaps hasn't yet been seen in the mainstream media.
Well, Dad, we just have so much in common with them, and I think as listeners will find out, they probably do too. These past 2 days, we've heard the Bachmans talk about their growing up years, how they both came to faith in high school, and how they've been serving him ever since.
And Ryan, that love for the Lord is really reflected in their daily lives. Dr. Marcus Bachman runs a private Christian counseling center in Minnesota. They've both raised their 5 biological children, homeschooling them for many years, and have also had a hand in raising those 23 foster children.
Well, they've certainly put their beliefs in action, and I have great respect for the work they've done. Dr. Bachman has been a clinical therapist for 20 years now, and Congresswoman Bachman has served the people of the 6th Congressional District of Minnesota in the U.S. Congress since 2006. Prior to that, she served in the Minnesota State Senate. And before going into politics, she was a federal tax litigation attorney, and she earned her law degree from Oral Roberts University. The Bachmans, of course, make their home in Minnesota.
And if listeners missed the first 2 parts of this conversation, really, you need to go back and listen to them. And you can do so at familytalk.org or call us and we'll send you a CD. Our phone number is 877-732-6825. So let's complete our visit with the Bachmans now here on this Family Talk broadcast.
Congresswoman Bachman speaking as the mom at the table here. One thing I've noticed is this hectic pace of life that has just increased and spiraled. And I still have 2 boys at home, and they're both involved in sports. And for us to even just say no sports on Sunday, it is just... It's unusual anymore. Everybody else is out there with all of that busyness.
Because
You've
the game
that.
Is Sunday morning.
It's
the practice is Sunday morning. It's hard to believe. And that we had a rule in our family, and it was we observed the Sabbath, not out of legalism, but because the scripture says that God made the Sabbath for man. It's for rest, and it's to worship him and enjoy him. And we had heard about a book by Karen Maines, Making Sunday Special, and it was the rhythm of the Sabbath. And we're a very young couple, and we made a decision then that we would observe the Sabbath. And we had a very crazy year that I would recommend no one ever do. But Marcus was full-time graduate school. I was full-time graduate school. He worked full-time. We homeschooled our 5-year-old to teach him how to read. We had a 7-month-old baby. We were desperately poor. We owned 1 car. I basically had to hitchhike to get to my school. I slept a couple nights on a couch. But the one thing we did is we said, we will do nothing on the Sabbath. We will be together as a family. It's the only way we got through that year. Again, I don't recommend it to anyone, but it was a year that we had to get through. And we had a rule that children only had 1 activity they're allowed to have in the family. And we just really restricted things down. We also had another rule, no TV during the week.
Right.
And on the weekend, it was only what we allowed them to do. But we were busy, so they didn't watch that much. So we really restricted. And same with, we didn't even have the video game thing in our house.
No.
Because there was so much family life. We had so many children that we wanted to have family life. We wanted everyone talking to each other and goofing around after dinner. That's what the fun was.
And we actually curtailed those sports activities that did have practice on Sundays. Those were choices that we didn't give them.
Yeah, that's right.
So they had to have choices that were during the week. And another very important thing for us was always having dinner time together. Mm-hmm. There was actually when we had our foster children, we had so many children in the house. A, we had to get a group license instead of our individual foster license. And then we had to blow out a wall in our kitchen to make sure we had enough room so everyone could sit down for mealtime, which was very important to us.
Yeah. It was very important because one thing the foster children, a lot of them hadn't seen before, was a dad that came home from work, kisses the mom. I had the food prepared. We sat down. We said grace as a family. We ate the meal together. We did chores afterwards. This sounds like normal things, but this was something that wasn't actively a part of a lot of the kids' lives. But we just had order. We had structure.
Yep.
And
homework.
I'll tell you, it's what the kids remember. They remember the mealtime talks and chats. And
kissing the mom was really important.
You've tried to implement these same principles, haven't you?
We have, and they came from being modeled growing up. When I was in Little League and when I was in soccer, we didn't go to practice on Sundays. And I can remember a couple of seasons that I came late to my very first practice. The kids have been all practicing on Sundays for a few weeks, and I came in and they'd say, "Why weren't you here?" And I said, "We don't do anything on Sundays." With Lincoln, our son, and soon Lucy, with Lincoln, we tell him we want him to be an outdoorsman, not an indoorsman.
Yeah.
You know, it's just too much indoors.
That's right.
We just talked about on my program, Child Protective Services just removed an 8-year-old from a family. He's 200 pounds.
Mm. 200 pounds?
Yeah. Oh,
my word. Well, what I remember is that, you know, in the summertime, we'd have breakfast, and then you'd just go outside and play.
Right.
Yeah. My mom didn't even know where we were. We'd just be out playing. Then you'd hear our names, you know, from the back door. Mm. We had to come in for lunch. We would. Then we'd leave. We'd all go to the community swimming pool. We'd swim all afternoon. Then we'd all know it's looking like the sun's going down. We'll go home. And then afterwards, we'd go out and we'd play tag in the backyard. I mean, that's all we did. And so you were chasing all the time.
You got to wear them out so they'll sleep at night.
No internet, no cable TV, no Xbox could compare with building forts out in the woods. Nothing could compare. It's great.
You know, when I was in high school, I played tennis 6 days a week. I really did. It was my life. And I entered a tournament down in South Texas there, one of the bigger tournaments. And I won through Saturday. And my dad came to me and he said, "What are you going to do tomorrow?" Because I was scheduled to play. And I said, "Well, I'm going to have to think and pray about that." And he said, "Well, you do that." He didn't tell me I could not continue the tournament, but he just said, "You decide." Mm-hmm. And I thought it through, and then I went to the tournament director on Saturday and I said, "I'm not going to be able to play. I'm going to have to drop out." And he said, "Why?" And I said, "Well, we go to church on Sunday." And he looked at me and he nodded and went back and held the tournament till Monday. That I could continue to play.
Oh, my goodness. It's like Eric Little and Chariots of Fire.
That's
really true.
Yeah. But did you win?
No.
Now, Ryan, you had to ask that question. You utterly humiliated him.
It doesn't matter.
But I got that far.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, doctor, you developed a core of conviction.
He developed a core of conviction. That's right. That's what we all need to have.
Speaking of that, Michelle, tell us about the book. And, it just hit my desk, so I haven't had a chance to read it.
Oh, you're going to love it.
But
it's a page turner.
I look forward to it. Tell me what you were trying to accomplish with this book.
Well, thank you. It's a 3D unfiltered version of who I am. So much of who I am has been identified in caricatures by media that has been, shall we say, less than flattering. And so I thought this would be a wonderful way that voters and people could take a look at who I am, what's my motivation, what do I stand for. And really, my life is reflective of the great American story of being able to go from below poverty and then move back up into a successful middle class person. But also, it's based upon the animating principles of the country that are ironically based on the Judeo-Christian ethic. Isn't that something? That's the formula for success, the Judeo-Christian ethic. It's something that has been foundational to the nation, a core of my conviction in our family, but also what was my ticket to success in the United States. I know we can do that again. This isn't unique to me. This is available for all listeners and for all Americans, this idea of opportunity. Mm-hmm. But it's abiding by these core of conviction animating principles. They're the principles of success and greatness.
Going back to what you were describing a few minutes ago about commitment to the home and the family, if you still had preschool children and you were trying to be a mom too, would you be comfortable being a congresswoman?
I probably wouldn't have, because in my life, I've had it all, but not all at once. And my highest life aspiration was to be a happy mother of children at home.
That really, truly was.
Now, I had worked as hard as I possibly could and had denied myself a lot of things to get through college, through law school, through my federal tax program. But it wasn't that I was looking for this brilliant career as a federal tax lawyer. I really wanted to be a happy mother at home of children. Mm-hmm. And so when Marcus finished his doctorate degree and established his business, and then at that point, we were financially able for me to be able to be at home, and I was able to then really expand our family. We had more children at that point and took the foster children in, and I was hardcore, full-time mothering, and that really was probably the greatest intellectual challenge of my life. I say that absolutely truthfully. There was nothing more intellectually challenging than to be a foster mother to the 23 children, but also to rear the little preschoolers, because I had a nursing newborn, a two-year-old, a four-year-old, a seven-year-old, and a seventh grader, and four teenage foster girls.
Oh my goodness.
That was a challenge.
At the same time,
they were all in our home. Now, I was doing
Hey, you should talk to the Duggars about this.
but it helps to have a good, supportive husband. And the thing is, we were focused on our family. That was the number one thing. We knew we were in the very essence of the most important life work that Marcus and I would ever do. It was rearing those children. And so that's, you know, we had the benefit of listening to you, Dr. Dobson, for years by that point. Mm-hmm. We had that foundation. We knew without a shadow of a doubt what our role was and our challenge, rearing these children to serve the Lord. And I'm grateful to say we successfully got all the foster children through high school, launched into the world. All five of our biological children know the Lord. They walk with the Lord. And as far as we're concerned, there's no greater legacy.
Exactly.
We're done. You know, we're done.
It's the most satisfying. It is absolutely, we understand what is our purpose.
Were you in agreement with Michelle to do this?
Oh, absolutely.
23 foster kids.
You know, again, it wasn't something that we thought was some great phenomenon.
Yeah, we didn't think we were saints. I mean, you know,
they kept asking, would you take another? And would you take another? And we said, sure. We can do this because we could do this.
Well, and we didn't think, gee, it'll be 23 someday. You know, we just started out taking one foster child and then expanded to another.
And we never thought about the cost of it.
Yeah, we never thought about it.
You know, it doesn't, you know, this whole idea that it costs so much to raise children, we just don't believe it.
We don't believe it.
I mean, there is this thing called goodwill.
Yeah, right.
And you know, you can really be very careful of how you spend money.
Amen. So our whole life we've been like that, extremely thrifty people, and God has given us amazing deals over the year, and He always provided. There was always enough. But you know, our clothes, we weren't too proud to say that, you know, we would get our clothes from a thrift sale.
No.
Lincoln's, we did it.
One of the youngest boys in all the cousins, he's got 16 or 17 cousins, and we get huge garbage bags of clothes.
Yeah. It works.
He loves it.
Yeah. That's right.
It's just new stuff to him. He has
That's right.
And for him, it's even cooler that his cousins all wore it. He already knows someone else liked this.
And I will tell you, children love being in a big family. I just want to encourage your listeners.
Absolutely.
Have more kids. At the time, it seems like a challenge. At the time, you think, two kids will be too much. Three kids will be too much. Four kids will be. I'm telling you, once you hit four, it starts getting getting fun. When you get to five, then it starts to get easier. Then the more kids you have after that, honestly, it gets easier because you get a buddy system down and it works.
But, you
it's
know, you
fun.
Really you really have to have a husband and a wife
you have to agree.
That are committed together yeah, and are right. going to be supportive and have a servant leadership approach. Because if we didn't understand that we were in this together, mm-hmm. It would have been a hard
yeah,
road.
Yeah, we were on the same
We never
page,
considered this a hard road.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I just want to add in, cardboard boxes, a lot of them work really good as great toys, and they don't cost anything.
Yeah. Are you all still in touch with the kids that you raised? Not your biological children, but the rest of them.
With some of them, mm-hmm. with some of the kids, not all the kids, because part of what we tried to do was turn them back toward yes. their biological parents. Because Marcus always said, if a child knows that at least one person is crazy about them, that'll give them stability. But we also believed, I think you had, is it Gary Smalley had that book, The Blessing?
Yes.
We had read that book, The Blessing, yeah. and we really believed that every child, they want that blessing from their
they
biological parent.
Mm-hmm.
We love those kids when they're with us. But when they came to us, they were 16 years old. They weren't necessarily going to attach and be with us. And kids, if you can get them through that, you talked about decade. See, we've listened to every show you've ever had.
I'm afraid to tell a story. You've either heard it
we've
or
heard
read
everyone.
It.
Oh, yes.
You know, that
oh,
whole,
yes.
the whole decade of decision.
Yes.
Kids have a challenge, and you said, you know, if you can just get them through that rough patch, they'll mellow out. And so what we believed is our heart was also to turn them back to their biological parents, mm. the mom or the dad. Mm-hmm. So we continually tried to make that pathway toward mom yeah. and dad, because we figured in their 20s, they will mellow out, just like you said, and we want them to have that legacy with that biological family. Mm-hmm. I saw it in my own life, yeah. that you know, that there can be reconciliation, maybe not what I'd hoped, but there can be reconciliation. That's what we tried for those kids.
Hmm. Well, what a pleasure it's been to talk to you all, because we are in sync.
Amen.
On
yes.
everything I've heard Amen. So far.
Well, because we agree with you.
That's right. We were mentored.
Why do you think you're here? Oh, my goodness. Well, Marcus,
you
thanks
really
for
have
what...
lived a wonderful life, Dr. Dobson. I have to tell you, you really have lived. And you've given, you. I just want to say to you, you've given to all of us by your own example and by these shows over the years, you've given us a wonderful life. And that's not gratuitous. I'm just saying the legacy that you have left has been built into our life for 33 years of marriage. It was built into our biological children's lives. Your legacy will be felt in our grandchildren.
Oh, that's
and so we
so
want to
nice
thank
of you.
You. No, but it's true.
And you know, the beauty of that, Dr. Dobson, is as the role model of being a therapist is what you've played into my life. Because I recognize that it's not about feelings that we direct people. Because feelings can come and go, and when someone's having an affair, the last thing you want someone to make a decision on is based on their feelings. Mm-hmm. Decisions are to be based on what are God's principles, because God's principles are true.
And you're not afraid to teach them to those who have come to you.
Not at all, because it's because truth is a beauty of which people can be set free and understand truly an abundant life.
Well, let me tell you about myself. I have a very special relationship with the Lord. I steal his ideas, and I get the credit for it. So it really works
these
well.
Work.
You think these came from me.
Yes.
Well, it's been great having you here. Appreciate so much your taking the time to be here out of what has to be a horrendous schedule. And I wish my voice had been a little better. It'll come back. I don't know. I woke up with this again this morning. But anyway. God's blessings to you all. We prayed before we started today and just asked the Lord not only to be here in this discussion, and he has been. I'm aware of it, aren't you?
Yes.
Amen.
And also to be with you as you go through this very challenging season of your life. Amen. It is a pleasure getting better acquainted with you. And I'll see you at the National Day of Prayer, if
yes,
not
you
before.
Will. Yes, you will. Okay. God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Marcus Bachman.
Thank you.
And Congresswoman Michelle Bachman, you are the role models that we talked about earlier today.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. You
have been a legend in modern Christendom. We mean that sincerely, and we're grateful to you for your living example.
Yes.
God go with you.
Amen.
Thank you.
Okay.
Well, we certainly hope you have enjoyed this visit with the Bachmans on today's Family Talk broadcast as much as we did. Dr. Dobson, I think there's no doubt left as to how much fun it was to have this wonderful couple here with us.
Lou Ann, it was such a delight to have them with us here at Family Talk. And I know our staff enjoyed getting to meet them, too, because after we had done three programs here, we went downstairs where our staff is, and they gathered around and had an opportunity to hear from both of them. Mm-hmm. And the Bachmans were very complimentary of the team here and what we're trying to do to protect the family and stand up for the sanctity of human life and the institution of marriage and so on. By the way, this is a program that I would like to suggest to our listeners that they get copies of, and perhaps 5 or 10 copies just by contacting us, because Michelle, as we know, is in the public eye right now. People are interested in her and what she thinks and what she believes, and they get snippets of that value system during the debates. But our purpose here was to take us inside their family and their relationship with each other and their relationship with the Lord, and I think it would be fun to distribute these CDs to friends and family. Lou Ann, also tell our listeners about Michelle Bachman's new book.
It actually was just released recently, Doctor. It's called Core of Conviction, My Story, and it is her autobiography. There are some absolutely wonderful and delightful stories in the book, and we will have information about how you can obtain a copy at familytalk.org. And this would be a good time to point out that at that same website, we have lots of resources for individuals wanting to strengthen their own marriage and their walk with the Lord and their family life, as we heard the Bachmans talk about. I would just suggest that you check out the Solid Answers section at familytalk.org. There are actually dozens of questions there related to these topics, all answered by you, Doctor.
Well, Lou Ann, that really brings up the understanding of why we're here. Mm-hmm. Why are we doing what we're doing? We could be doing something else. Certainly I could, having left my previous responsibility. But to summarize, we want first to introduce people to the Lord Jesus Christ, and second, to help them develop and maintain strong relationships within their families. If you, our listener, would like to partner with us in this work, I tell you that now would be a wonderful time to hear from you. All through the month of December, any gift, you got it,
any gift
to Family Talk will be matched dollar for dollar up to $650,000.
My goodness.
And that's what a generous friend of this ministry has provided. And so $5 will be 10, and 10 will be 20, and we can certainly use it because December is really going to determine where we go from here.
And when you donate at least $50 to Family Talk, not only will your donation be doubled because of the matching grant, but we'd also love to send you our 6-CD 2011 Family Talk broadcast collection set as a thank you.
And you can donate by clicking the donate tab at familytalk.org or even at our Facebook page. Just look for that little red heart next to the word donate on the left-hand side of our fan page.
If you'd prefer to call us, our phone number is 877-732-6825. Again, 877-732-6825.
And, Doctor, before we sign off for today, I know there was one last thing you wanted to say.
Well, that's right. You know, there are many people that are out and about this time of year picking up Christmas presents for their loved ones. And if you're one of them and you're out shopping, and if you see a store saying Happy Holidays and attempting to erase every mention of our Savior's birth, make sure to remind those retailers the real reason for the season. Some may think the attack on Christmas is over, but I want to assure you it is alive and well. Just the other day, I read an update from Tony Perkins of the Family Research Council in his end of the day email, and he said the anti-Christian group American Atheists, which is headed by Mikey Weinstein, is putting billboards up all across the country that say, "You know it's a myth." And Tony said it well, and I quote, "It's their faithless vision that they want to impose on our nation. Christmas is but one of many flashpoints in the ongoing struggle to resist those who want to sterilize the public square of any religious expression," end quote. So make a stand this Christmas. You don't have to be nasty or mean, but suggest to everyone that you meet that they have a Merry Christmas and patronize only those stores that do the same.
And actually, we'll have some more links to that information that you just read, Doctor, at familytalk.org. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great weekend and make plans to join us at the start of the work week.
I hope every one of our listeners will do that, Luann, because we're going to hear a riveting account of the events surrounding the capture of Saddam Hussein. And it comes from U.S. Army Lieutenant Colonel Steve Russell, who was there. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, you will not want to miss this program.
I can't wait. So join us on Monday right here on Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson.